This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips is going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yes, indeed. A glorious afternoon in the fine city of Chicago. The Great Clips postgame show is presented by Tullamore Dew. We've got a couple of phenomenal prognosticators with us. Both Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley picked the Bears to win the game, and boy, were they correct. They, gentlemen, finished 28-13. It was a great finish, and it was the finish that mattered.
It sure was. Yep. It sure was, Mully, man. It was fun to watch, Pat. It was fun to watch them play this game against the Detroit Lions. It came out fast. Started fast, scored 7 points on their first drive, took the starting kickoff right down the field, had a little bit of a lull, but then they came back, dominated at the end of the game. The defense surely dominated in the second half, and we talked about them having, Pat, more talent when you looked at their roster, having guys who could actually finish, who could actually close games, and I think that's what we saw today at the end of the game.
Yeah, you know, to me, the story is the defense. The second half defense, yep, coming out starting with three straight three and outs when we kind of felt the momentum have swung and we were nervous they were going to come back at the second half and put more points on the board between those two possessions, and they stopped them. And they kept this offense, which was sputtering with short fields. I'm sure we'll break that down later and maybe question some of the play calls, but this to me is all about this defense. They shut down the number two offense in the NFL down to 13 points. And then Mully, they gave the ball away three times to the Bears. Yeah, they got their three takeaways. Yeah. But just the defense, man, they're really coming together. And I think you saw at the end in those game, those finishing situations, the importance of Montez Sweat. He got a sack and he helped two other guys get sacks. You know, it's nice to see, guys. It's fun to go into a game and a pregame like we talked about, Olin, that we thought they would win, and they went out there and actually played well. And we talked about Matt Eberflus talking about finishing, and they did it. And they did it all the way across the board, and that was good to see. And this thing is really trending in the right direction with these last two wins.
And I think that given the fact the Bears came out and they scored 10 points and you liked where they were at in the game. And then they had this sequence where, I mean, it was awful. They had a third and two, which they didn't convert, and they came back on fourth down and they got super cutesy and they got stuffed. And that pretty much, they stopped playing for a while. That was the last we saw their offense in the first half of the game. And you saw Detroit come back at that point, score a couple touchdowns, take a 13-10 lead, and you worried about the second half and how they were going to start the second half. And you said it. Second half was all Bears defense. It was all the Bears defense. And you get to the end of the game, and beware the closer. How do you close games? With defensive ends and cornerbacks, and the Bears have a defensive end. And they look like a completely different team than the one we saw earlier in the year. They look like a really dangerous team right now. And if I'm another team in the league, I'd want no part of them.
Well, I agreed. And I think it's fortunate the Bears have some of the teams on their schedule at the end of the year that seem even easier than Detroit, right? They're 9-3 yep. team. And they handled a 9-3 team in the NFL. There's going to be a lot of discussion now. Does this kind of save Matt Eberflus's job? But if they continue doing this, like I said in the pregame show a couple weeks ago, I had him gone. And then what I've seen the last couple weeks, and especially today, they've shown a lot of improvement. And Coach Eberflus keeps dialing up some darn good game plans, some timely blitzes, some timely run stops, things like that that gets me impressed. And these guys are playing hard.
Yeah, they come out, right, and they go 3-and-out in that second half. And you guys are talking about the defense. But the offense does go 12 plays, and they go 65 yards in 5 minutes, right? And yep. they tie the game up. Right, so it was team. The team just, we talked about finishing. We talked about when you looked at this game, when you put the rosters up side by side with Frank Ragnow out, with Aleem McNeil out, you said that, okay, this Bears team is a better team, I think, today. They're a better team at home than the Detroit Lions. But can they prove it? Can Coach Eberflus get his guys to win a game and then hold on to the lead late and really dominate? And that's what they did today.
Yes.
And you got to give them all their credit in the world. Now, we'll get into talking about their matchups against other teams and how they actually match up. Against the Lions, they match up well. They showed that even when they're in Detroit. So this game, though, when you looked at it, you said they should win this football game, right? You don't lose to your two best players in the middle of your offensive defense and act like nothing's wrong, right? Like nothing happened. We'll be good. Don't worry about it. No, you lost your all-pro center and you lost your best D tackle. Of course something's going to be missing. So Chicago Bears went out there and won a game I thought they should have won, mm-hmm. played well, and Montez Sweat finished at the end, but so did Brisker, right?
Yep.
When you talk about that play, yep. Pat and Mully, when you talk about that play, that fourth down play to DJ Moore, didn't like it at all with mm-hmm. Getsy,
yep.
right? Did not like the call at all. But the first thing you're thinking is, are we good enough to overcome this nowadays? And you saw that Tremaine Edmonds in the middle of the field on fourth down, you got to make that play to make that fourth down play go away, right? You have to make those plays. You're making $70 million. But that's just an example of later in the game, he did make the plays. Later in the game, they did close. Later in the game, the guys you're paying money to came out and showed you what is the definition of finished games. They did it.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but it had kind of a special feeling about it. It had, you know, to see the Bears win a game like that, and it was a very physical football game. There were a lot of big hits on both sides over the course of the game. And frankly, I was getting worried that some of their better finesse players were taking some big shots in that game, including the quarterback and including DJ Moore. And it seemed like he was limping at one point after his third carry. We hadn't seen him used as a running back, and all of a sudden he's being used as a short yardage back. It was just weird. And yet he scored a touchdown in the first half, and then they scored that touchdown on the free play. I guess the Lions never overcame the idea that it was that he wasn't being called for a penalty there when he threw the ball while falling down. I don't know what you guys thought of that play, but they certainly couldn't move beyond it. They jump off sides, free play. DJ Moore made a great move on the defensive back, and they score a touchdown. Great.
A couple things there. First, we'll start with DJ Moore. I got to give Luke Getsy credit because we've been asking for more targets or finding ways to get him the ball. Well, he's doing it. Well, we can argue the fourth down play to get him the ball, but the reverse for the touchdown was great.
Yep.
The end around that he had, I think it was like a little 4 or 5 yard gain, but you're getting the ball in your playmaker's hands now. And I got to applaud him for that. And I like that. But the other thing is, guys, they scored 28 points. They still left a lot out there. So as a coach, when you bring him in the room, it's a lot easier to break the film down after a win. You're feeling better about yourself, but there's still a lot of things that they can improve on. Justin Fields included, O-line's protection was struggling early, a little bit in the run game as well. But there were a lot of points out there that you know, this should have been even more of a blowout. So if you're looking at it through a coach's eye, that's the way I would talk to those guys. Like, listen, this is what we left out here, and we got things to work on. Congratulations on the win, but there's still things offensively that they need to improve on to get to the level the way the defense played today.
Yeah, hey, Mully, like you mentioned, Aiden Hutchinson jumps off sides right there. The Lions, and then followed by a fumble snap, but he jumps. And DJ Moore, and I think it was Will, I forget his last name, in the pregame show from Detroit, told us that Jerry Jacobs, watch for him if he gets matched up on DJ Moore. It might be a problem for the Lions. And sure enough, who does DJ Moore run by on that play, right? And credit the Bears. I think they were just trying to draw him off sides. And I think they would take a shot if they jumped. It was 4th and 13, right?
Yes,
and they draw them, Aiden Hutchinson, and then Lucas Patrick heads up, snaps the ball. And look, that's just talking about that situation that Bears. I'm interested to hear what Eberflus talks about in his post game, if that was the situation they had practiced. That they'll go for it. If they jump, snap it, and just everyone's that can all go special. And DJ Moore runs right by him, and Justin Fields throws the ball. Great pass, but we're talking about finishing. We're talking about guys making plays. That's 2 weeks in a row. Fields to DJ Moore changes the game at the end of the game. Montez Sweat changes the game at the end of the game, right? We talk about players, not plays, in those moments. So it was good to see them make that play.
No Sweat. I mean, no doubt when Sweat is on the field. That guy has made them a significantly better defense. He really was the missing piece. And, you know, you think about the trade they made for Claypool and what a disaster that was. They double down and they make this trade and then they give the guy $100 million. Worth every penny. Mm-hmm. That guy is a hell of a football player and helped in a lot of different ways. He is what you talked about, Olin, in terms of the word multiplier.
Definitely. It's definitely what he is. And different than Chase Claypool, right? When you heard about Chase Claypool leaving Pittsburgh, they didn't want him anymore, right?
Right.
The Commanders wanted Montez Sweat when you talk to people from Washington. So it was a different trade for Ryan Poles there. I mean, obviously you're hoping that Chase Claypool would turn around here and move in the right direction. But Montez Sweat, man, like you're talking about, he has drastically improved that pass rush. Yannick Ngakoue running through Taylor Decker early, but Montez Sweat pushing the middle of the pocket so Goff can't step up. Seems like when somebody gets a sack, he's always kind of a part of it, Pat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that defense, that back end, man, they are playing fast and aggressive. T.J. Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Brisker, Eddie, Jalen Johnson, another pick, paid a man his money. It's just good to watch them play and win a game today.
Yeah, you're right. And Montez Sweat in the run game as well in that 4th and 1. It looked like he got the penetration to cause the running back to bounce, and they stopped him, and they got the ball back on like the 30-yard line or whatever, and that's Montez Sweat again in a critical situation, not only affecting in the passing game but in the running game as well.
I got to tell you, I mean, it's just a really impressive – they're now, I believe, 5-4 on the season, if I'm not mistaken.
I wish.
It's funny. I got a text from a friend during the game who said, as Fields was kind of going off and running and doing his thing early, said how mad he was at the coaches for trying to make the guy a pocket passer too early, that normally you see that happen with someone like Lamar Jackson, who first – they kind of let him do his thing, and then they try to develop him more as a passer, as a pocket passer, and that they jumped to that too early with Fields, and how did they not see that to start the season? An interesting criticism, but I think if this team continues to play the way they're playing, there are going to be some really hard conversations and difficult ones in trying to figure out what is the best move going forward.
Well, let me ask you this thing, guys, about that conversation. If you're evaluating Justin Fields as Ryan Poles is right now, how did he play today? Where would you grade him on his evaluation of keeping him and not drafting somebody at number one?
It's a good question, Pat, but I have to look at everything, right? Yeah. Like if you would have asked me how I would have thought Justin Fields is going to play today against the Lions, watching his last three times he played the Lions, I would have told you he's going to play like just like how he played, right? That's why that was a big reason why we took. I won't speak for you, but that's the big reason why I took the Bears over the Lions today, right? I think you have to say, okay, now next week, guys, I don't want to break down next week's opponent before we enjoy this win, right? Where it's Victory Sunday and Victory Monday. Yep. I want to enjoy the win, but we all know in Cleveland is the number one defense, right?
Yeah.
And so we like Justin Fields, if you look at trends, right? Trends, he plays well against the Lions. He'll play well for 2.5 games. And then the second half of the third game, there's always a problem. So he's got to put games together here if you're talking about whether these hard conversations are going to happen. I thought earlier in the week, I think I was on with Parkins and Spiegel, and I said, look, this game is going to be interesting because I don't think it means much to the evaluation of Justin Fields. So I'll tell you why. He plays good against the Lions.
Right.
Right, he does. So I don't know if it means much if we're talking about evaluating Justin Fields. I know it means much evaluating Eberflus and his defense and closing games.
Yep.
I think you can talk about that side of it.
And I think that's fair. I think also you look at the Browns as an opponent. You know, you're on the road. We'll see how that goes when we start matching that one up. But then they got the Cardinals. Then they got the Falcons, both here, and they closed the season at Green Bay. So there's only four more games at this point. And I don't know how they're going to do, but we're looking at them different right now because they've won not only two division games, but two in a row. And we hadn't seen them win a division game. We had not seen them win two consecutive games in the Matt Eberflus era. And now they are. And now, if depending on how they finish the season, you get into those arguments if they're showing that they are, you know, one of these teams gaining momentum at the end of the season, aiming toward next year.
Yeah, and Mully, it's against two teams that had winning records at that time. That's another big thing.
Right.
You know, you're beating the division leader and the second, and the team the second in the division. So, yeah, it just muddies the water, right? And maybe it's a good thing for the people at Hallis Hall because, you know, you're playing, you're fighting, you're coaching, you're GMing or whatever for your job, and they're doing their job right now, and it's making this conversation we have on this side a little bit more difficult. But like we said at the pregame, man, it's been fun to be able to talk about a team now that you believe can win, that can go out there and be competitive, that you can predict a win, not just go out there and maybe, you know, come away with a win with turnovers or takeaways or stuff like that. But you now I feel like, okay, well, these four games left, that they, you know, maybe Cole Kmet was right. They can win all five on the way out.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Wouldn't
that be oddly interesting for the season to end that fashion? All right, we know a lot of people want to check in. 312-644-6767. We're going to come back with all of your phone calls, and we'll do that next on the Great Clips post-game show. It's presented by Tullamore Dew on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Play, it's negated with a 10-yard sack.
How about the power of Montez Sweat? And remember, when you're in the pocket, the quarterback, there is no horse collar rule.
That's correct.
So you can grab the quarterback just about anywhere you want except the face mask. Montez Sweat showing off that power.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And that sack. That sack by Montez Sweat is, of course, our hit of the game, and that is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. I don't know that it was the most violent hit of the game, but that was a huge hit in the game, and the Bears did a great job of closing things out, guys. We've got full phone lines. Let's get out to our listeners. We'll start with Chris. Chris is in Evanston. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just want to say great job by the defense. You know, this is, I think they said they were number four rushing, number four passing, number six overall. The Bears looked like the playoff team today and just dominated all those three and outs in the second half. We left some picks on the board, but like you said, Olin, I don't know what we're waiting on. We got to pay Jalen Johnson. We see a guy getting ready to be in his prime if he's not already started that right now. And we've seen him develop. He's been great every year. Got to pay the guy. I don't know what we stand to lose if we don't. But as far as Justin Fields, you take away, and it was just a boneheaded call by Dan Campbell. I don't know what he was thinking, like you guys said. I'm pretty sure I would bet we were just trying to get them to do exactly what they did. We had no intention of running that play. And then you call a mug look with a single high safety. I mean, that's just on 4th and 13 at midfield. You take that play away. What did Justin Fields really accomplish today? He had some terrible throws. He had some great throws. It's year three. We got 4 games left. And I just would be at a loss to think that we're not going to take that number one pick or trade that number one pick and get a different quarterback and start over. I don't think the guy's unfixable. I just think with that pick that we have in the quarterback class, it just doesn't really make sense for me that he's done enough for us to keep him.
Yeah, I was wondering, Chris, when you were going to get to Justin Fields, because it's a good breakdown there of the game, but I always look forward to your breakdowns of Justin Fields after the games on Sundays or Mondays or whenever the heck he plays.
Chris watches the games, man.
I know.
That was a good breakdown of that. Bears defense, 11 takeaways, man, in three games. That is something, right? That is that Tampa 2 at its finest when you're flying around, when you're causing problems. I know one of them was a center quarterback exchange, but you got to recover it, right? You take what you can get there. And I think right there with Chris calling was an example of what we talked about, right, where if you're the quarterback in Chicago, you're going to feel the pressure because even after a win, even after a convincing win, people are wondering about your job and how you played and whether you were dominant or not dominant and how that will relate to playing other teams. But as far as the defense at home versus the number two, I think the Lions are still the number two ranked offense in the NFL. Quite the performance for Coach Eberflus and his group.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Justin Fields, just for the record, 18 carries. We wondered if he'd have 18. 18 for 104 yards with a long of 29. He had a touchdown. He also passed 16 of 23 for 169 yards, and he had a touchdown as well. He was sacked twice for 18 yards. It seemed like it was more. I think didn't Darnell Wright get sacked at one point, didn't count. I just felt like there were a lot of guys getting tackled in the backfield at different points.
There was a lot of big men carrying the football today.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Darnell Wright was great. I mean, that's a dream come true, man, going to the house there, right? But this is what Justin – I don't know. I'd have to look at the numbers, Pat, but I think that's pretty much what he's been doing against the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty much his numbers the last four times they played the Detroit Lions. So – it'll be interesting to see moving forward, but this game was, they did what they had to do, right? Where they started with that DJ Moore touchdown, from 16 yards out, where he was the wildcat, and my guy, Trent Taylor, had one-on-one block on Anzalone, right? Just really
favorite punt returner in the entire NFL.
My favorite punt returner.
Love that guy.
Can't find a sideline fast enough sometimes, but that's all right. But it's just they and then, like you're saying, Molly, like it's all of a sudden it's 13-10 and you're thinking, here we go, right?
Oh,
here we go again.
It's awful.
Man. And
yeah,
but they come out, they stop them. The offense goes on a nice long drive and ties the game up, and we're right back in it again. And the defense just keeps getting off the field. Then the offense got a touchdown one or two drives later, and from then on it was all Bears. The Lions offense, they didn't do anything the whole second half.
And ignore the numbers I just read because they're from the first meeting.
See?
The box score's
the same,
not
right?
out yet. Yeah. How idiotic was that? I just noticed. I'm like, what? How can he have 18 carries?
He had 12, though. He had 12 carries.
I think it'll be the same. Yeah, I think it'll be the same.
He had double-digit carries. I mean, that's I think that's probably the number you're looking at, right? When you get up to double-digit. The Lions
did a nice show. I'm ruining the show, and I apologize.
Well, we got listeners on the text line keeping us correct. They always are.
Are they coming for me? Good. Let's try David. He's in Old Town. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. Was at the game today. Big-time performances by our young defenders. You're watching Jaquan Brisker, and you're watching Gervon Dexter really grow in front of our very eyes. You do have to give credit where it's due for their development. So let's give some love to Matt Eberflus because this defense has been playing really, really well lately. Now on the offensive side of the ball, Justin Fields, I thought it was a solid performance. Can he take his game to the next level here in Chicago, or will it be in Atlanta or Oakland next year? I don't know. We go into Cleveland next week, best defense in football. Does this present a legacy game for Justin Fields? I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, it's an opportunity, right? I think this is one maybe you put a little magnifying glass on it. Hopefully the O-line can play well against this pretty good Cleveland Browns defensive front. But I think this is one you really have to – it's funny, we're already jumping there already after a win. We should be celebrating the win. But, yeah, I think next week will be something that I'll put a little bit more of a weight on that, just judging Justin Fields against the number one defense in the NFL.
Yeah, we talked about earlier, right? If we're just talking about Justin Fields today, nothing that happened today swayed me at all. But I don't think anything could have happened in this game that really would have swayed me about if we're talking about whether we're keeping the quarterback or not and looking at his trends and the way he plays against certain teams and when I'm actually looking to be convinced that he is our quarterback. I don't think that was today's game at all. But I do think that the culture at Hallis Hall – with all they've been through all year and all we've talked about, deserves a little bit of credit, right? With them losing their D coordinator, running back coach, never winning two games in a row, Coach Eberflus accomplishes that today. You guys talked about, Pat talked about, two winning teams, both in NFC North. The NFC North leading Lions come to town, and you beat them pretty handily, right? It wasn't like it was a close game. They beat them pretty bad. So credit goes to where it's due. And this offensive line is getting better. DJ Moore was dominant when the defense, the Lions defense had to go to man to make a play. And we talked about in the game when they had, in pregame, when they had to do that, who would they have covering DJ Moore? And you see they tried Kendall Vildor at one time, and DJ Moore came down with the ball. So the Bears are getting better. They are getting more talented, and I think that's why we picked them going into the game to beat this Lions team.
It's really interesting because I don't know if games weigh more at the end of the year. I don't know the situation other teams are in as you move forward, but it looks like, however he managed to do it, the coach did keep this team from falling apart after the last loss to the Lions, and that is a laudable thing to have achieved because that felt pretty low when that happened. And it speaks to the character in the locker room, and it speaks to, you know, just the ability to communicate with guys. But we did not see this team quit when it had a chance to earlier in the year.
Yeah, I do think there is weight on this. If you look at even the Detroit Lions, because they were similar last year, right? They were struggling, then went on to win, and then now they're leading our division. I think they'll end up winning the division, but you hope that's the trend of the Bears. You hope if they do keep Eberflus that he can continue doing that and build this into what the Lions have become this season. So I do put weight on it, but we have four games to go. And I remember Dan Pompey, and I don't mean to pick on Dan, but he thought the Lions were going to win, the Bears were going to lose, that everybody was going to come back to the middle and be who they are. Well, it flipped. It completely flipped. You know, the Bears played like the division leaders and the Lions played like the Bears. So that's credit to Ryan. That's credit to Matt Eberflus and his staff and getting this team to play better and going out there and producing.
Yeah, Molly's talking about – go ahead, Molly. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry, Olin.
No, I said like you're talking about, Molly, like pretty low point out there in Detroit, especially what has already happened in Denver, what's already happened through the whole year, and then they come back and they just continue to improve.
Yeah, it's impressive. If nothing else, and I mean, you know, Matt Eberflus has done a good enough job as a defensive coordinator to, you know, remain in the NFL and kind of show you why he was hired. But that would be something I would take into account when the final decisions are made. Let's try Michael. Michael's on the South Side.
Yeah, I got a couple of points. One was that the acquisition of Sweat was huge. It's huge. They, all of a sudden, they can get home now. They're getting home. And you think about the last four games of the season, right? All of them are outdoors, right? All of them are outdoors. And you're playing pretty much backup quarterbacks other than Green Bay. And 9-8 probably will get you that last wild card spot. Who's to say that this season is over? This season is not over.
I like it, Michael. Hopefully they're believing that in the locker room. You know, Cole Kmet talked about it. This was probably the hardest step to get there, right, to beat Detroit. Maybe Cleveland with their defense, but I'm not sure about their offense. I'm looking forward to watching that tape next week. But, you know, they took a step. And if you start believing, Olin, you know better than anybody, they start rolling. They start adding up, and you start believing. You get a little bit more confidence. I've got no problem if the Bears start talking that way. Hopefully they do, right? Hopefully that locker room does believe that and they continue stacking these wins. But it'll be interesting to see what Bears fans, are they more like Michael or are they more like other people that are a little more pessimistic about this team?
Yeah, and like Michael said, man, since the signing of Montez Sweat, guys are starting to get home, right? Yeah. Whether it be Yannick Ngakoue, whether it be Javon Dexter, whether it be Justin Jones, you know, Montez Sweat he brings another element to the Chicago Bears defense that everyone knew was lacking when you watch the defense play. We thought the secondary, the back end, the back seven were good. It just needed someone to put a little pressure on that quarterback, and sure enough, they have. Now, as far as the Chicago Bears moving forward, I actually think their hardest game would be in Green Bay, right? Mm-hmm. That's we always talk about.
Yes.
Matchups.
Yeah.
Matchups are everything, yeah, right? And that defensive line in Green Bay, that offensive line Green Bay has, that would be a tough matchup. But, man, how great would it be, guys, to be watching the last week, and they got to go either Green Bay's in the playoffs or they are, right? Like, that's the game we hope for, right? That would be the dream come true as guys who analyze the Chicago Bears and still have the number one pick in the draft. That would be everything you would want from this team. And then talk about finding ways to evaluate people, right? To evaluate your quarterback, to evaluate your head coach. A game like that would be Ryan Poles' dream, right?
Sure.
Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, that would be their dream if they got to that.
I've been wanting to ask you this, Olin, because I find it kind of like a really interesting idea that, generally speaking, when people look at the NFL draft, they believe that the first three picks will be, you know, two quarterbacks either sandwiching the wide receiver or the wide receiver third. And then there are a couple of offensive tackles. If the Bears were in the top five, you would think that getting a left tackle would make sense just because you're sitting in a position where usually if you draft one of those guys in the top five, and you kind of do take into account, you know, what the draft position is for players, but those are the kind of players that start for 10 years. Have you seen Braxton Jones play well enough to make you believe that you wouldn't have a need for an offensive tackle if you are sitting in the top five in the draft, as opposed to what looks like now, maybe that's a top 10 pick, but maybe not as high in the draft as we imagined?
Yeah, I think when you're in the top five, you take your best player on your board, right? Because you're talking about guys who can change your franchise. Now, it all depends on which direction the Chicago Bears go in, right? What do they keep Justin Fields or do they take a quarterback? What are we doing at that position? Because I'll be honest with you, I think if you're keeping Justin Fields, I think if you want a left tackle, I personally think I would trade one of those high picks for a guy like Tristan Wirfs in Tampa Bay or try to get somebody who's already established in the NFL. I can't guess if I'm keeping my quarterback. I can't guess at my left tackle spot anymore. And I don't know about – I know the Penn State left tackle is a highly rated guy. I don't know about the left tackles in college this year. But if you have a guy, guys, and I'll just throw a name out there, right, Pat, like Orlando Pace. Mm-hmm. Like he can't miss. Right, if you have a can't-miss left tackle out there in the top five, Mully, then yeah, I don't think Braxton's played good enough to not take a can't-miss left tackle.
Right.
I don't know if there's a guy like this in this draft.
Yeah, and Mully, I'm just a believer, too, that there's cornerstone positions on teams, right? Everybody knows quarterback.
Yes.
But you need a stud left tackle. You need a stud corner, and you need a stud pass rusher. To me, Braxton Jones has not set himself up to be a top cornerstone tackle in the NFL. So I think that's a position you're always going to evaluate while he's playing at his level. You know, you go out and get a Trent Williams, a guy like that at that level, like the 49ers have. That's a position that I think you're always looking to upgrade, unless you do get lucky and draft a Walter Jones, like Orlando Pace, a guy like that.
Now, I will say the only place I kind of disagree with Pat there, and he's right about the left tackle, is you just need a stud tackle, right?
Yep.
You need like Lane Johnson at the Eagles, and hopefully Darnell Wright can be that guy for the Chicago Bears, right? So hopefully you already have your stud shutdown tackle, and he did pretty good again against Aiden Hutchinson today. So if you think you have that one tackle who shuts guys down and you can help the other side, then you can put resources somewhere else.
Gotcha.
All right, we'll be right back with your phone calls. You're listening to the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. And we'll be right back here on The Score.
Fields rolling out. Justin Fields. His eyes are on the end zone. He's in. Touchdown, Bears. Just his second rushing touchdown of the season, his first since week two.
Well, you're going to see it. You're going to run a game here, and we don't get back to the outside. So everybody gets trapped on the inside. Here goes Hutchinson inside, creates that opening, and then Justin Fields and that speed and athleticism just crossing over the goal line.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, and we do have the great Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, the Iron Man, and of course, I am Mully. You can hear me on the morning show. Not quite as special as these guys and never claimed to be, so let's get that out of the way, for God's sake. No one named anything after me.
We got to get the Mully going.
The Mully soon. Yeah. The Mully Award soon.
For the biggest goon radio guy. Let's try Tony. Tony is on the road. Hey, Tony.
Well, Mully, at least you know where you stand, that's for sure.
I'm reminded.
So, hey, you know, I've been listening to Score all year, and sometimes upsettingly. But, you know, coming into the season, everyone talked about how bad the Bears were, how many holes there were to fill. And everyone's looking for improvement. Well, they have improved. I didn't think the offensive line played particularly well today. And Fields made some really good throws, but then he makes a throw like he did to where DJ Moore was wide open, which could help seal the game, so that's kind of frustrating. But things have improved. So, Olin and Pat, my question to you is, if you're in the locker room right now as a player, and a reporter comes up to you and says, hey, you know, they're probably going to get rid of Matt Eberflus at the end of the year. You know, what's your reaction? Because the coach is not just about offense. You could get a new offensive coordinator. He's brought the defense to a really great level, and the team is playing with enthusiasm, confidence, and they're gelling. So what would you say to reporters when they say that to you?
Take it, Olin.
Yeah, it's a great question, right, about their improved. They have improved, and it's a great point. And that's why I think – we try to be fair, right, Pat? We try to just watch the film and say what we see on film. Yes. And that's why we said before this game that the line, that we thought the Bears would win, because that was what the film said, right? We try to take emotion out of it and just say, okay, this is the way this guy is playing. This is the way they match up. And really, that's why we're talking about going into the game. It felt good to say that, right? It felt good to be positive about the Chicago Bears and the way they look on film and the direction they're moving in and people getting better. And as a player, if they ask you about any coach, you say yes. Like, you want them here. You love playing for them, because that probably is true, right? And it's not your job to talk about whether a coach should stay or should you go. And you realize in the NFL, you really have no say on that stuff anyway, right, Pat? You really have no say on wading in that kind of water anyway. And you probably do love playing for Coach Eberflus and the way he's got this team moving in the right direction, because all you can do, Pat, is look at the game. Yeah. Say, okay, how are they playing? Are they playing hard or are they not? And they're playing hard.
Sure. Olin, I could just hear you right now, like, being a couple lockers down, you're just going, that's a dumb question.
Oh, yeah.
I would never say that to Mully them when they're talking to me.
Oh, never. I never heard that.
Never.
Olin, you would never accept a question like that. I mean, no one would ask you a question like that. And the same thing with you, Pat.
If they did, they would deserve a Mully.
It's not true. Yeah, you win a Mully for the dumbest question. Yeah, but it's not your purview.
No,
it's not something you can control as a player. And it's like you want to know what a good story would be? You got like six guys saying, "Hey, fire the damn coach." That, okay, now you're talking. If there was that sort of undercurrent, but there's nothing like that going on, and there's nothing like that allowed in NFL locker rooms. It's not very often that you hear people complain about whether they're being used correctly, etc. And if they're no good and they do that, guess what? Find out where Chase Claypool's living life. I guess he's doing well in Miami.
And even last year, guys, I know it was a bunch of different guys and younger guys and guys that were kind of, you know, fringe players. They never said anything about Eberflus when they were terrible. So that says a lot about, you know, the man as a head coach and a leader in that building, that they respect him and they like him. So if you're not hearing a single word even back then, when it was as bad as it can get, you know, you're not going to hear anything now about, you know, firing or agreeing, saying, yeah, I'd like to see him go.
Let's try Terrell. He's on the west side. Hey, Terrell. Don't tell me we lost Terrell. Terrell, you there? That's my fault. I guess I didn't get to him quick enough. I believe we have Andy, though. Is Andy there? Again, this is on me. I'm sure Steven is with us. Steven. Oh, we got Andy. Wait a minute. Hold on. I moved too quickly, Andy. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, can I, if you don't mind me switching topics to a different player, what status of health do you think Khalil Herbert is? Because ever since he came back from the injury, and I get it, he's probably not 100%, but he just kind of hasn't been a factor in the offense. And start of the season, and even going back to last year, a great running threat and a great passing threat as a running back. I'll hang up and just listen to your guys' discussion.
I'll give you just my speculation. He had a high ankle sprain, right?
Yes.
That's a terrible injury. And being a running back, I just think, you know, that might be hard to come back from. And from what I see on tape and watching him today, he doesn't look as explosive as he's been in the past. I'm not saying, like, I'm not a doctor, but I'm just saying a high ankle sprain is just, it takes a while to come back from. Every time you just kind of tweak it a little bit, it almost goes back to ground zero. But, you know, we don't know exactly what's going on, but that would just be my speculation.
Yeah, that's a great point by Andy and you, Pat, because when you watch him, you first thing you think is, what's wrong with Khalil Herbert? Like you're saying, if anybody's ever had a high ankle sprain and try to play with it, gosh, I couldn't imagine being a running back and trying to play through a high ankle sprain. And the thing is just, it's almost like your ankle, it just doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. You don't get that extension, that triple extension. You can't push off of it. So it does look like he's lost a little bit of his explosive speed, get to the hole, and that'll make you lose your confidence. And Pat, me and you know, you put on those shoes, you got to wear at Soldier Field this time of the year. That ain't the most friendly surface to be moving around on if you're injured.
Yep.
And I think it's a fair comment based on the lack of explosiveness, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when he was in previous seasons, you'd see him be a lot more explosive than he is these days. So I think that's a fair kind of way of assessing him. And I don't know, you know, Deontay Foreman has kind of won that job and been really good. And how about that play where he tried to jump over a guy? That was crazy, man.
Well, you want to see that from your running back, right?
Oh,
you don't
of course.
You want to see the guy trying to get some extra yards. I'm also a believer now in the NFL that there are times to step out of bounds, don't take that big hit. But he was just trying to extend the play a little bit, and I like that. I like to see that from him. He's a tough runner, and he's a joy to watch when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, we asked Grody, right, in pregame. We're like, who's starting at running back today? Just because you thought it should be Foreman. It should be Foreman playing there. And I think there was one drive there. They took a field goal, I think, on that drive. And you're wondering, where the hell's Foreman? Because Khalil Herbert was in the game, and he just doesn't look good running the ball right now. And as Mully pointed out, Foreman, you know, I know he was injured, but you think he's earned the right to be the starting running back. And sure enough, they did start him today, which tells you a little bit all you need to know about where Herbert is injury-wise, probably.
Yeah, and for some reason, they had three different carries for the wide receiver. We have not seen him carry the football, and they've run some of those weird reverses and stuff, and for the first time, we really got a chance to see DJ Moore carrying the football.
Olin, I don't know about you, but I thought that was a good bye week call, right? The coaches have extra time to draw stuff up, and I think everybody's eyes went to Justin Fields, like, what's he going to do out there? Because he is a weapon. You know, how are they going to run this from this formation? And the next thing you know, he's the reverse guy, and you see all the eyes go to him and the DJ Moore, and they blocked it up really well too, but it was able to walk in. I thought that was a good bye week dial-up. I'm guessing that would be my guess, that they spent the extra time in the office coming up with some plays and put that one in.
Yeah, I think that's probably Coach Eberflus going to Getsy and saying, we got to get the ball in this guy's hands more, right? We got to get him the football. He is our best player on offense. Let's find a way to get the ball in his hands. And even on the fourth and short, guys, that you didn't like, right? I think it was a fake dive flip to DJ Moore. He ran over the first tackler, right? He ran right at him. I mean, this guy is a tough football player. He's hard to bring down. You got to find ways to get balls in his hands. Now, you see when the Chicago Bears get themselves into a situation where the defense gets desperate and they have to play man and they have to blitz the quarterback to make something happen, he's the guy, right? That's what happened as the game wore on. DJ Moore started to find himself in one-on-one coverage and he was getting open. So it was just fun to watch him play that game, get the ball in his hands, little wildcat. A little touchdown there. I think that was right after you were like, man, Justin Fields didn't just fumble again, but I think he was down, right? And Braxton Jones jumped on the ball. But it was right after that, all of a sudden, you know, and I'm an offensive lineman, and I'm, you know, I want to run the ball in the A-gap every damn play. And, you know, Justin Fields splits out and DJ Moore goes to receiver, and I'm the guy yelling, no, yes, 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 touchdown, right? And then I said, I knew it the whole time, it was awesome.
Yeah. But to go back to, you were talking about, you know, Eberflus saying we need to get the ball to him. I mean, he had 10 targets in the passing game and 3 in the run game. I'd take it every game, him trying to get the ball to him 13 times. I mean, that's your best offensive weapon besides Justin Field and his legs. But it's smart to see them. I'm glad to see them kind of adjust their game plan to that to make sure that they're trying to get the ball in their best, you know, playmaker's hands.
All right, 312-644-6767 is the number. It's the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fields, rolling. Just his second rushing touchdown of the season, his first since week 2.
Well, you're going to see it. You're going to run a game here, and we don't get back to the outside. So everybody gets trapped on the inside. Here goes Hutchinson inside, creates that opening, and then Justin Fields and that speed and athleticism just crossing over the goal line.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, and we do have the great Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, the Iron Man, and of course I am Mully. You can hear me on the morning show. Not quite as special as these guys and never claimed to be, so let's get that out of the way, for God's sake. No one named anything after me.
We got to get the Mully going.
The Mully soon. Yeah. The Mully Award
it's
soon.
For the biggest goon radio guy. Let's try Tony. Tony is on the road. Hey, Tony.
Mully, at least you know where you stand, that's for sure.
I'm reminded.
So, I've been listening to Score all year, and sometimes upsettingly. But, coming into the season, everyone talked about how bad the Bears were, how many holes there were to fill. And everyone's looking for improvement. Well, they have improved. And I didn't think the offensive line played particularly well today. And Fields made some really good throws, but then he makes a throw like he did to where DJ Moore was wide open, which could help seal the game, so that's kind of frustrating. But things have improved. So, Olin and Pat, my question to you is, if you're in the locker room right now as a player, and a reporter comes up to you and says, hey, they're probably going to get rid of Matt Eberflus at the end of the year. What's your reaction? Because the coach is not just about offense. You could get a new offensive coordinator. He's brought the defense to a really great level, and the team is playing with enthusiasm, confidence, and they're gelling. So what would you say to reporters when they say that to you?
Take it, Olin.
Yeah, it's a great question, right, about their improved. They have improved, and it's a great point. And that's why I think we try to be fair, right, Pat? We try to just watch the film and say what we see on film. And,
yes.
And that's why we said before this game that we thought the Bears would win. Because that was what the film said, right? We try to take emotion out of it and just say, okay, this is the way this guy is playing. This is the way they match up. And really, that's why we're talking about going into the game. It felt good to say that, right? It felt good to be positive about the Chicago Bears and the way they look on film and the direction they're moving in and people getting better. And as a player, if they ask you about any coach, you say yes. Like, you want them here. You love playing for them, because that probably is true, right? And it's not your job to talk about whether a coach should stay or should you go. And you realize in the NFL, you really have no say on that stuff anyway, right, Pat? You really have no say on wading in that kind of water anyway. And you probably do love playing for Coach Eberflus and the way he's got this team moving in the right direction, because all you can do, Pat, is look at the game and say, okay, how are they playing? Are they playing hard or are they not? And they're playing hard.
Sure. Olin, I could just hear you right now, like being a couple lockers down, you're just going, that's a dumb question.
Oh, yeah.
I would never say that to Mully them when they're talking to me.
Oh, never. I never heard that.
Never.
Olin, you would never accept a question like that. I mean, no one would ask you a question like that. And the same thing with you, Pat.
If they did, they would deserve a Mully.
It's not true. Yeah, you win a Mully for the dumbest question. Yeah. But it's not your purview.
No.
It's not something you can control as a player. And it's like, you want to know what a good story would be? You got like six guys saying, hey, fire the damn coach. Now you're talking. If there was that sort of undercurrent. But there's nothing like that going on. And there's nothing like that allowed in NFL locker rooms. It's not very often that you hear people complain about whether they're being used correctly, etc. And if they're no good and they do that, guess what? Find out where Chase Claypool's living life. I guess he's doing well in Miami.
And even last year, guys, I know it was a bunch of different guys and younger guys and guys that were kind of, fringe players. They never said anything about Eberflus when they were terrible. So that says a lot about, the man as a head coach and a leader in that building, that they respect him and they like him. So if you're not hearing a single word even back then, when it was as bad as it can get, you're not going to hear anything now about, firing or agreeing, saying, yeah, I'd like to see him go.
Let's try Terrell. He's on the west side. Hey, Terrell. Don't tell me we lost Terrell. Terrell, you there? That's my fault. I guess I didn't get to him quick enough. I believe we have Andy, though. Is Andy there? Again, this is on me. I'm sure Steven is with us. Steven. Oh, we got Andy. Wait a minute. Hold on. I moved too quickly, Andy. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, can I, if you don't mind me switching topics to a different player, what status of health do you think Khalil Herbert is? Because ever since he came back from the injury, and I get it, he's probably not 100%, but he just kind of hasn't been a factor in the offense. And start of the season, and even going back to last year, a great running threat and a great passing threat as a running back. I'll hang up and just listen to your guys' discussion.
I'll give you just my speculation. He had a high ankle sprain, right?
Yes.
That's a terrible injury. And being a running back, I just think, you know, that might be hard to come back from. And from what I see on tape and watching him today, he doesn't look as explosive as he's been in the past. I'm not saying, like, I'm not a doctor, but I'm just saying a high ankle sprain is just, it takes a while to come back from. Every time you just kind of tweak it a little bit, it almost goes back to ground zero. But, you know, we don't know exactly what's going on, but that would just be my speculation.
Yeah, that's a great point by Andy and you, Pat, because when you watch him, you first thing you think is, what's wrong with Khalil Herbert? Like you're saying, if anybody's ever had a mm-hmm. high ankle sprain to try to play with it, gosh, I couldn't imagine being a running back and trying to play through a high ankle sprain. And the thing is just, it's almost like your ankle, it just doesn't work, right? You don't get that extension, that triple extension. You can't push off of it. So it does look like he's lost a little bit of his explosive speed, get to the hole, and that'll make you lose your confidence. And Pat, me and you know, you put on those shoes you got to wear at Soldier Field this time of the year. That ain't the most friendly surface to be moving around on if you're injured.
Yep.
And I think it's a fair comment based on the lack of explosiveness, right? I mm-hmm. mean, when he was in previous seasons, you'd see him be a lot more explosive than he is these days. So I think that's a fair kind of way of assessing him. And I don't know, you know, Deontay Foreman has kind of won that job and been really good. And how about that play where he tried to jump over a guy? That's crazy, man.
Well, that you want to see that from your running back, right?
Oh,
you don't
of course.
You want to see the guy trying to get some extra yards. I'm also a believer now in the NFL that there are times to step out of bounds, don't take that big hit. But he was just trying to extend the play a little bit, and I like that. I like to see that from him. He's a tough runner, and he's a joy to watch when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, we asked Grody, right, in pregame. We're like, who's starting at running back today? Just because you thought it should be Foreman. It should be Foreman playing there. And I think there was one drive there. They took a field goal, I think, on that drive. And you're wondering, where the hell is Foreman? Because Khalil Herbert was in the game, and he just doesn't look good running the ball right now. And as Mully pointed out, Foreman, you know, I know he was injured, but you think he's earned the right to be the starting running back. And sure enough, they did start him today, which tells you a little bit all you need to know about where Herbert is injury-wise, probably.
Yeah, and for some reason, they had three different carries for the wide receiver. We have not seen him carry the football, and they've run some of those weird reverses and stuff. And for the first time, we really got a chance to see DJ Moore carrying the football.
Olin, I don't know about you, but I thought that was a good bye week call, right? The coaches have extra time to draw stuff up, and I think everybody's eyes went to Justin Fields, like, what's he going to do out there? Because he is a weapon. You know, how are they going to run this from this formation? The next thing you know, he's the reverse guy, and you see all the eyes go to him and the DJ Moore, and they blocked it up really well too, but it was able to walk in. I thought that was a good bye week dial-up. I'm guessing that would be my guess that they spent the extra time in the office coming up with some plays and put that one in.
Yeah, I think that's probably Coach Eberflus going to Getsy and saying, we got to get the ball in this guy's hands more, right? We got to get him the football. He is our best player on offense. Let's find a way to get the ball in his hands. And even on the fourth and short, guys, that you didn't like, right? I think it was a fake dive flip to DJ Moore. He ran over the first tackler, right? He ran right at him. I mean, this guy is a tough football player. He's hard to bring down. You got to find ways to get balls in his hands. Now, you see when the Chicago Bears get themselves into a situation where the defense gets desperate and they have to play man and they have to blitz the quarterback to make something happen, he's the guy, mm-hmm. right? That's what happened as the game wore on. DJ Moore started finding himself in one-on-one coverage and he was getting open. So it was just fun to watch him play that game, get the ball in his hands, little wildcat. little touchdown there. I think that was right after you were like, man, Justin Fields didn't just fumble again, but I think he was down, right? And Braxton Jones jumped on the ball. But it was right after that, all of a sudden, you know, and I'm an offensive lineman, and I'm, you know, I want to run the ball in the A-gap every damn play. And, you know, Justin Fields splits out and DJ Moore goes to receiver, and I'm the guy yelling, no, yes, 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 touchdown, right? And then I said, I knew it the whole time, but it was awesome.
Yeah. But to go back to you were talking about, you know, Eberflus saying we need to get the ball to him. I mean, he had 10 targets in the passing game and 3 in the run game. I'd take it every game, him trying to get the ball to him 13 times. I mean, that's your best offensive weapon besides Justin Field and his legs. But it's smart to see them. I'm glad to see them kind of adjust their game plan to that to make sure that they're trying to get the ball in their best, you know, playmakers' hands.
All right, 312-644-6767 is the number. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.